I'd like to have Judy Hogan come up and read next. And okay. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Patrick, and thank you for coming. I see a few faces I know, and it's good to see you others. We poets need all the audience we can get. I want to read poems about Artemis, a Greek goddess that I've been fascinated by since I was a young person. She's very ancient. She was the sister to Apollo. She was a virgin huntress. But in my understanding of her, that virgin has more to do with kind of a sacred inner self than with whether you've had sex or not. I'm sure that the goddess Artemis did have sex and was erotic. The main myth about her is that she was taking a bath in the woods with her attendants when a hunter named Actaeon intruded there. He wasn't supposed to be there. That was his only crime, that he was in the wrong place. And she sprinkled water on him, and he turned into a deer, and his own hunting dogs devoured him. And I believe this is essentially an ecological myth. If we disturb the sacred way that the earth is made and it operates, we are going to have big trouble. So I want to share some Artemis poems. The first one, Artemis Articulate, I wrote in 1974, not long after I'd met an African-American poet named Julia Fields, who had a big impression on me. Our Artemis is pre-dawn black, not even faint blue spaces cradled in her leaves to east. Our Artemis is black. Her skin, her breast nipples are pigmented black. By birthright, she claims all that is left of the woods. When I am awake, before I've made the morning fire or stirred the children or my husband from their beds, she stands beside me, black cape billowing round her bent, slight shoulders. Before she speaks, she fingers the notched end of an arrow lying loosely against the tautest bow I have ever seen. There is only one huntress left, only one safe place. I keep it. For all who know their spirit's need of solitude inviolate, of the mind's uninterrupted conversation with itself. Men and women both have pried at my tree's bark, scrabbling for my secret. They have burned my woods with golden leaf fall flowing into red. Tulip, dogwood, maple, elm, and oak they have uprooted, seeking reasons, reasons why these trees lose everything and never know despair. They have ransacked leaf mold, sickened birds, plundered, murdered forest food, which they call pest and weed. By hand they have fed my fleet deer, then gunned them to death, nor needed meat, nor savored the wild tang of the blackened, roasting flesh. Me they know not, never see, yet they dread my bow, stutter to name what their rumors acknowledge. One arrow is ever enough and swift to bite the heart. She was also the bringer of sudden death in women, as Apollo was in men. And this is from Sunblaze, in a love poem written a couple of years later. My letters, yes, ink-dipped arrows. I stand in a quiet pool in a forest glade, sure of my safety, my own place, naked and without fear, wearing only a bow and quiver, shooting letters out into that clearing where you are beating soapy clothes against a rock. You laugh and look up when an arrow skids across your smooth pounding stone, tipped with blue ink and love. And this is this was written in 1985, poem 11 in Light Food. Men are hunters and netters, fishers and trappers, and I have been Artemis, wild and virgin in the sacred places, turning intruders to deer. A new metamorphosis this time. I am a deer too. You feel the golden arrow in your hide and are running, fleeing anywhere, anywhere else, anywhere safe. It's too late for safe, and you know your arrow hit me. I am a dead deer too. Artemis herself is wounded. That's the difference. The myth has a different ending this time, more like the Chinese poem about hunters invading a countryside, seducing women who are nourishing spring lusts. The loss of privacy then must come. The private parts are full of longing to be changed. Artemis puts down her bow. Her arrows scatter. She is naked. Her drops of water change her own skin, too, to a deer's hide. Her hair is light brown fur. Her eyes gentle, pleading. She gives chase. The dogs are in another part of the forest. So are the deer the love god sacrificed. You touch my waist. It only takes one touch to start this fire that will tremble under our skins the rest of our lives. But she's still on my mind, and so this was written in January this year, the first poem and the second of a new book called Lemon Light. And the first quote is from a book I wrote in Russia called Beaver Soul. The light in the spaces of their branches is new, like lemon custard, gleaming like the saffron mantle of dawn. It blesses our union, binds our hands, whether a priest does or not. We already drink from the same cup. And then this is a quote from the second Homeric hymn to Artemis, translated by Charles Bohr. And when she has hung up this unstrung bow, when she has put away her arrows, she puts on over her flesh a beautiful dress. Then she begins the dances, and their sound is heavenly. Their song is of Leto, whose ankles are so lovely. Leto, whose children stand out, the best of gods, the best in their counsel, the best in their acts. Leto was the mother of both Artemis and Apollo. This is Lemon Light 1, Who is Artemis? For Paul Foreman. If I say that I worship her, I do not mean that I am without sexual knowledge. Artemis guards the undefiled places in ourselves and in the natural world. She is wildness, yes, and wholeness, the mind that is at peace, its parts all working together, each fulfilling its purpose, as Plato envisioned that a just state would do. She guards what is sacred, which many would cast aside, despoil, treat carelessly because of greed or the need to impress. She does not need to impress anyone, but her power to wreak vengeance on the destroyers is legendary. As ancient as Gaia, an earth goddess, she is also Ilithea, who presides over childbirth. I knew her power to tame me into acceptance of pain and bliss when my first child was born. You may call her cruel, but she guards the laboring mother, the newborn infant. She causes the milk to flow, the baby to be comforted beyond any other comfort we know in this life. She is huntress like her brother Apollo is hunter, he whom she loves but whom she does not worship because they are equals. He also is fierce and unyielding when the human mind betrays itself. If he is the enlightened poet and bringer of light, she is the guide to those who yield their spirits to a greater mystery. Women seek her out to refine their peacefulness. If men are wise, they do not, like Actaeon, intrude upon her sacred places. They do not try to tame all the wildness out of other beings. She knows Aphrodite, but is not driven by the whims of Eros, here, then there. She lives in me, helps me keep my counsel, safeguard my will to be all that I can be, follow my life's ley line, love those I can love, and hold them to their best vision of how to use their lives. Once I was told that my aura was yellow. That was Artemis. She made dawn's saffron mantle. She lives when it is almost dusk in the lemon light I often see between the tree branches. Her light is the color of custard made from fresh hen eggs, baked slowly in a wood stove, soft and delicate, nourishing the soul as well as the body. Nothing in this life is more desirable than such lemony, richly simple custard, or the light Artemis sheds on our lives when they are whole and untrammeled, and the woods hold still and listen for her feet when she has hung up her bow and dances, a hymn to her mother, she whose children stand out, the best of gods, the best in their counsel, the best in their acts. Then this one was written a week later, and it's the last one I'll read. It's called Lemon Light 2, and I quote from the first poem I read, Artemis Articulate. There is only one huntress left, only one safe place. I keep it for all who know their spirit's need of solitude and violet, of the mind's uninterrupted conversation with itself. This morning, snow, paper whites opening. The chickens fluff their feathers and hunt sun. They look like huge snowballs under the blackberry canes, except for their red combs and wattles. In Finland, red was the brightest contrast in the white world. Sea, land, forest, all white. But the houses and the rabina berries were red. It is yellow I think of, that yellow gown I wore in Berkeley with its Grecian style, the folds falling straight down under my breasts. In that nightgown, I felt like Artemis, alone, beautiful, wise, calm. These days, I wear a pendant that gives off yellow light, its crystal, a quarter moon, gold-backed. Yellow, especially a yellow gemstone, is also the self, happy, whole, and ready for union. Not surprising, then, that lemon light caught in tree branches should summon an erotic mood. When we are happy alone, then we long for the mate, the other. The lover of Artemis is greatly delayed, but dismay is not her mode, nor Penelope's vacillations, constant weaving and unweaving her strategy. Her art is bold, not deceptive. Her arrows are sudden, out of the blue. They hit the mark. Her words are winged when she speaks and stir the human heart in passionate response or numb it with cold dread. Our defenses don't save us from Artemis. She sees through. Her arrows penetrate even cleverly constructed excuses, the reasoning that is merely subterfuge. You could think of her as a river which doesn't know how to be anything but itself, which speaks through raging, muddy torrents or the barest wave ripple when the surface is calm by sun and sky, and gives us, in answer to every question, its wise, nearly immobile blue smile. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.